Hey everybody, it's Azina here with Guitar Goddess, and I am so excited today because we have Marlene Angelitas in the house, and she is a powerhouse, you guys. She is a author, she is a voiceover talent, she's an actress, she's a musician, she's a singer, she's a guitar goddess. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction. It sounds bigger than it actually is.
Oh no! I've read your bio and I've seen all of your credits here. You're amazing.
Oh well, thank you very much.
So, where are you right now?
Right now, I'm in New York. I'm in my apartment. The reason you see this is I'm not the drummer.
Okay. I was gonna say you drum too.
No, I do not. I wish I did. It just happens to be a convenient place to put this up. But no, my boyfriend is a drummer. So cool. I'm currently in amongst his electronic drums.
I love it. But you are you have new product coming out, you're touring with Led Zeppelin, mm-hmm. and also Ascending Dawn.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'm just tired hearing all of this.
it's kind of hard juggling. I think it was one of those things that when you come to New York, you kind of realize you have to do 15 different things to kind of stay afloat and include your own sort of heart passion in that too. Yes. So Ascending Dawn is that. It's my original project. It's a prog metal alternative a mixture of ambient and heavy metal melodic. So it's a strange little project, and it's my baby. So that's why we're here to discuss that. And it's releasing on December 1st.
Okay.
So the debut album called Coalesce, a full length album. So it was one of those projects that came out of a bunch of difficult things. So, you know, when you do that, it always feels very important to kind of get it out there and let it see the light, I guess, you know.
And how did you get to metal? Like, you know, you look at you're this gorgeous woman and you're an actress and a voiceover talent and all of that, and I don't see metal in anything in your aesthetic. How did that happen?
I know, right? It's weird. It's strange. The pathway was kind of convoluted. I started out in musical theater. So I started out as a theater actor. I was in the West End. Because I'm from Europe. So I was very passionate. I knew every single musical there was to you know, at the time. And I was trained. I trained at the Royal Academy of Music. So I don't know. I did that for a while and then realized I didn't like doing 8 shows a week. Shows a week is boring. Doing the same thing over and over again was somehow not representing what I wanted to do. So I started searching. And then I went, you know, I'm also half Greek. So I discovered, well, let's see what, you know, pop music does for me. So I went on this TV program called Pop Stars, which was like the precursor to
American Idol, right? Idol.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I did Pop Stars in Greece. And I was a member of a girl band called High Five, and we were super massive in Greece, and I sang in Greek and did all this pop, little hip-hop dancing weird stuff that I was doing. And that kind of didn't last very long. I also realized that I didn't want to be doing that whilst doing it. So it was actually a weird revelation, because I remember going on the stage for the first time to these thousands of people screaming. And I was like, this is really not me, and this music is not me, and I just didn't know quite what I wanted to do. So the band kind of, whilst the band was still going on, I kind of was researching that, and I found rock music, I found heavy, hard rock music, and from there, it kind of went into... I joined a couple of cover bands and did kind of, I don't know, I started, you know, the Zeppelin and the AC/DC and the whatever, what it was at the time, Queen. And I don't know how it happened, but I guess I met some musicians that were into kind of nu metal and sort of the, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say gent, but I will. I'm saying gent. and, you know, I was introduced to bands like Meshuggah and Slipknot. And I, you know, it was heavy for me, but I found it fascinating. And of course, I couldn't find something that I wanted to do within that genre in Greece. So I started looking online and found some musicians in England. So that's basically how that little journey started. And I joined a couple of bands in England in the progressive style and found it fascinating to be working, you know, with odd time signatures. I mean, there are odd time signatures in musical theater. I know people think it can be cheesy, but there's some pretty difficult music in there involved. But, the whole complexity and the heart, you know, the progressive riffs and how the, you know, the seven string guitar gives that kind of bassy tone to it and still leaves room for melody. Mm-hmm. That was, I don't know, made my heart beat faster. So I was like, oh my God, this is it. And so I just started that little journey with a band in England. I would come and go from Greece. Mm-hmm. This was a different band. And then that kind of, and I was so passionate about it. And we did, you know, gigs in London and I wasn't involved in the writing at the time, but I was just singing it. And then that kind of imploded again, as bands do. yes, unfortunately. And so I found another one. Actually, we are kind of joined with one of the members from the old band. And Ascending Dawn kind of came to me at a place where I didn't even know if I wanted to live in Greece anymore, and there was a bunch of stuff. So I started writing this music to this, sorry, these melodies, vocal melodies and lyrics to this like bed of music that they'd sent me. And it just kind of happened. Like in 3 weeks, I wrote like a whole album.
Wow.
And it was weird how we weren't actually in the same room. Mm-hmm. It happened over the internet. We barely made any changes. Like they were like, oh, we really like that. And that's like odd, because they'd have warned me in advance. They were like, if this is not what we like, we shall tell you. We're gonna change it.
Right.
So it was funny. I was expecting like this barrage email going, we don't like this part, can you change that? Yeah. But it actually didn't happen. So Coalesce was born, basically. Obviously, there was a few more lines to it. There was probably another four to 10 tracks of vocals that were added in there, but were taken out eventually. But that's how that happened. And in the meantime, I moved to New York and then rejoined the theater world and started doing voiceovers. I did voiceovers before. I did like Disney cartoons in Greek. Just anything to do with a voice really excites me. So it's my main source of income. And, you know, Ascending Dawn happens to be voice joined with heart, I guess, you know. So that's a long story. Very
No, I love it. I love it because you kind of gave a little bit of the backstory of how it all came to be. And that's what I find fascinating, because when you're, you know, people don't really realize that like classical music and metal kind of go together really
well. Oh, my God. They do. And if you I came to New York and I started looking for musicians, and immediately the most talented musicians in metal can also play classical. So yeah. not necessarily they're not classically trained, but there is that level of expertise. So, you know, metal is the sort of classical of the modern world, I think.
I agree 100%. I tell people that all the time and they're like, really? But they're screaming. I'm like, no, you got to listen to the instrumentation and how it all comes together in those chord progressions and, you know, all the different vocal tonality that you can use in a metal song that you can't really in a pop song. You know, pop, you're kind of like stuck in one. Well, you know, you're kind of stuck in one groove, and metal is kind of like, how you do feel right now?
Yeah. No, that's true. It's true. And also, with vocals, you know, I never learned the screaming thing. Mm-hmm. That's something that I, you know, actually admire a lot. Maybe I have looked into the technique of it, but I have yet to master it, because I am very much vocal oriented and I do classical voice too. and with doing the, you know, the Led Zeppelin, and that's a whole other vocal technique. And what I found with this kind of metal was that you can use the voice in layers of backing vocals as an instrument to add to the progression and to add to chord changes. I mean, I changed their chords there with my own vocals. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to change the chord now in places that were slightly unusual. So it was really fun to experiment that way as a vocalist, to add that element, which is usually exclusive to instruments. You know, usually you kind of just blend in or fit into the chord structure, but if you can actually change it, that's really fun to do. And this music allows that sometimes.
I love it. And talking a little bit about voiceover, I just want to go back to that for a second. Voiceover, how does that work with your music? Like, how do you balance it all?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out. Basically, you know, if you ask me what my day is, I still audition for voiceover. So that means I work with like 5 or 6 agents. They'll send me out, or I do MP3s from home. Sometimes some of those bookings come through from home, so I'll do them at my home studio, or I'll go into town and record. But the level of sort of commitment to that is it's sparing, and it's dotted around the calendar. So I do have time, you know, to kind of do other things, which is how I do, you know, weekends are usually live gigs with Led Zeppelin. And then we may have the odd rehearsal. So it's basically a juggling calendar act that exists most of the time. So
that sounds challenging, you know.
Yes.
Okay, I'm doing voiceover today. Okay, now I need to go do Led Zeppelin. Now I need to go do my Ascending Dawn project, and, you know, just keeping it all together. And that's something, like, I feel like the modern musician is really having to do. I mean, there's no just doing one thing now. You really have to do a little bit of it all, and you're acting on top of that. So we didn't even talk about, oh, there we go.
I have like an audition tomorrow. So I just got these today. They're sides while I was waiting for you. I'm like, oh, I have to go over these. I have to create a character for this reading. I mean, it's an audition. So, you know, you have to put in a lot of work just to try and get work. So Exactly. It's, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's the whole balancing. You know, that's the thing I want to talk about a lot, because, you know, the emails that I get in are always asking these sort of questions, like, how do you balance it all, you know? And we're talking acting, voiceover, which I still think, yes, acting is voiceover, but they're still different to me. And you have two different bands, and you know, it's like, that's the whole juggling act that I'm hearing from women that they're finding challenging. And so I love that you do all of these things and you have a script in your hand. And, you know, having a script, you know, is not just having a script and memorizing lines. You got to like create this whole character world before you go in there. So that requires a whole nother, I feel like, another brain.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, basically you have to enjoy it, first of all. I think that's the most important part. You have to enjoy wearing different hats. And I do like having my day split between playing a character in the morning and just voicing some, you know, listening to somebody's interpretation of how they want their copy interpreted in the booth. Okay, try it this way, try it that way. And then I like to sing something completely different. That actually makes me excited. I enjoy that. There is a level, of course, where it does get exhausting, and finding that balance and finding where that point is before you kind of burn out is hard. And I can't say I haven't crossed the line several times, you know, where I'm like, okay, I need to just not do anything for 2 days because I'm gonna collapse. And you know, your health sometimes goes out the window a little bit, and you know, it's constant thinking about balance. I have to think about it all the time, otherwise I'm going to go crazy. And it actually is probably the most important thing right now, you know, figuring out the balance of how to do all the different things. And yes, they all do require different brain sections, because yes, voiceover is that. In fact, I prefer voiceover in many ways, because it's more in the moment and you don't have to know your lines. So you essentially take on the persona that you hear your director telling you through your headphones, and you don't have to think about what you look like. You don't have to think about any of that. It's just embodying that in your voice. And I feel like personally, that's actually a better skill set for me. I find sort of on camera and stuff that requires, you know, being there in person harder for me. You know, memorizing lines is really not my strong suit. So, you know, I'm like, I'm holding these sides while we do this, you know? So it's a funny game that we all play, I think. Yeah. And I admire certain people can do even more than me, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, how do they do that? But yeah, it's very hard for women because I think we do have to juggle all of these things, perhaps a little more than men, although I don't want anyone to bash me over the head about that.
And I think we put a lot more pressure on ourselves as women.
Yes, because we also feel like we, you know, we want to look good for us in the process. You know, there's a certain amount of effort required in that. And then we want to have human relationships with people, and that requires effort. And I think big cities make that even harder. You know, having lived around the world, I definitely know for a fact that New York is not friendly for you know, making new friends. It really is hard to kind of maintain relationships. So that is an additional sort of thing you need to think about. You're like, well, my spirit needs to have connection with humans. So I need to put effort into that. Which is an additional stress. So, yeah.
and staying healthy as well, you know, when you're touring and doing so many different things, you know, do you have a routine that you would share with us of how you stay healthy?
Okay. So I do have, all right, because my voice is my primary
source of income.
Yes. It's like, it's everything for me. My voice is probably the thing I take care of the most. Meaning, I won't abuse it like a lot of rock. If like in the rock arena or environment, generally there's no vocal technique, vocal health kind of orientation, like there is in theater. So, you know, the people in theater are like, oh, my voice, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not that crazy about it either, but I definitely follow because of that. You know, the hydration and the steaming and the, you know, if I've been singing for 2 hours doing, you know, Zeppelin, I'm going to stop speaking. You know, I will go out to the people, you know, our fans and go, you know, I'm like this, just holding my voice and just, you know, it's just protection. I can only kind of relate or have a human interaction to a certain degree. If I'm not feeling very well, I will take some kind of herbal sleep aid, you know, to kind of make sure I sleep.
Yes.
And I have this like singer's professional spray that I carry around all the time. It's in my bag. It's really great for me. It's got some ginger things in it. I don't know what exactly, but and I have it on stage and I sing, I spray on stage and I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm spraying that shit down my throat. Yeah. And then I will, if I can't, you know, I will sort of spread out my schedule accordingly. Like if I, for example, I want to record, I'm going to be recording a big vocal session next week. Uh-huh. I did not want it after 2 Zeppelin gigs. I was like, there's no way I'm going to schedule that 3 or 4 days later because the voice needs the rest.
Yes.
So only under great duress, if a booking comes in, if I can shift a booking to a day after, I will. Those are things that are priorities for me. Mm-hmm. Physically, I try. Walking around New York gives me a lot of exercise. You know, I try and do the yoga thing and I try and do the gym thing. And I wouldn't say I'm like a crazy fitness freak, but I try as much as possible. And, you know, try as much to keep my food healthy too. That I do. You know, touring is hard on that when you're touring. Take my protein drinks with me and my protein, you know, like just trying to have some alternative to whatever junk might be available to me. So yes, that's my other little tidbit that I do follow. I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else. If I do, I will tell you.
No, that's awesome. You know, and I love how you take ownership of your talent, you know, and taking care of yourself. I feel like sometimes the women that I talk to, myself included, we don't always stick up for ourselves and say, look, I can't talk now. This is a vocal rest day, or, you know, I can't do this extra gig over here because I need a day of rest. And, you know, kudos to you for doing that. And thank you for sharing that with us, that you do those things, because we need to hear that more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I think it's because I did go through a period of time where, you know, my voice was not representative of what it actually is. And I could hear, you know, I went to the vocal health people and they were like, you really need to rest. And I also massage my throat a hell of a lot.
Ooh. That's good.
A lot of sort of massage around here for myself because the voice box gets stuck in one place. And that actually can create an issue around, you think you're hearing damage, but it's not. It's actually just a stuck voice box. You just need to relax the muscles. That's something I discovered by myself. And also going to see specialists who basically said, your neck is really tight. You really need to kind of figure this out. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, I do this. All right. And also, I do have a resilient voice box. I'm aware of that. But the minute I do hear anything that is tiredness, I'm like, okay, that's it. I can't now, because then I won't be able to do the next week's gig, you know?
Right.
And I did get in-ear monitors on purpose for that, you know, in a very loud band on stage, even though it kind of defeats the purpose because they're supposed to be on for a quiet stage. But it's the only way I can control the volume of my voice, so I'm not pushing. For the length that we play 2 hours plus.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's very hard on the voice.
Yeah.
And especially if we've got back-to-back gigs, I have to think consciously before I go on. All right, now in this song, you don't have to sing all the really stupid high notes right now, you know. But these are all things I learned in the process. I, you know, the first few times I did it, my voice was so tired. I was like, oh shit, I have to do something. So next time I learned my lesson, and yeah, it just kind of went from there.
You know, those in-ears are incredible. That was a great saver for me as well, because I used to go, and like you're saying, you think you need to hit all those notes every single night and pushing. But the moment I got the in-ear monitors, it was like it changed everything for me. Like I was able to really pull back and save myself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was because, you know, you can actually have the nuance you want, which you can't hear. Because the monitors, you know, they just can't fight the electric guitar sometimes, or the drums, you know. So, and you don't really want them to either, you know. You want that loud sound. So, I don't know. I thank the Lord that your monitors were invented for people like us. Yes,
absolutely. Now I want to switch gears a little bit. Let's talk a little bit more about your songwriting.
Oh, okay.
Because I love that you were saying, you know, you were writing melodies and you're basically using your voice as an instrument in an unusual way, I think.
Yeah.
Music. So talk about like writing and how what your process is, basically.
Well, here's the thing. I never, you know, originally I started out as a vocal, you know, as a theater actor, and then just went into singing. I was always somebody's interpretive tool. Like I would be the person that would take somebody else's material and make it come to life. Mm-hmm. So, and that included, you know, my other girl band. I didn't write anything in that. So when I was given music, I was like, oh, okay, how do I fit my voice in this? It was a strange process because I was like, okay, I would just kind of put the headphones on and just sing notes like in this sort of bed of rhythm and sounds. So I just started thinking, what would I like to hear in like a melody in there? So I would just sing that. And then those things kind of blended together into a sort of a vocal bed. of other notes. So it was weird. I didn't really kind of think what I was doing. I'm sure other people actually do this, you know, all the time, and they know what that is. But when I got the chance to do it, it was really fun. And then the lyric thing, you know, the lyric thing with this kind of music is strange, because normal lyrics, the normal pop lyrics, all of that just don't fit. They're just too simple. And so I don't know why, but this weird sort of lyric writing of sort of poetic, almost nonsensical at times, situation came up. And there is a meaning, a sort of very layered meaning underneath for me, but it's kind of convoluted. And the words being sort of multisyllabic and long helped with the whole, you know, keeping the lines long and keeping all of that sort of interesting melody line within all of that. I don't want to call it a mess, but like the big, all those layers. So yeah, it's just a thing that kind of happened. I feel like it's my baby. So it's really hard to be objective about it. I don't know how good or bad it is. I also know that it's not structured as a pop song. You know, it's not the same. And I feel okay about that. I'm like, you know what? This isn't pop music. It's not supposed to follow that rule. Right. You asked me to write a pop song, I could probably write that easier than this. Probably not a very good pop song, but I could, you know, the basic standard, I could do it. It's an interesting thing using the voice. I always work very well with other musicians. I'm not alone in this. I can't write by myself without, you know, the other musicians. So if they weren't there, there's none of this would be happening. So, you know, and that's, oh, I mean, they're very much in the background. They don't want to be in the foreground, which is why it's only me here. They're like, we just want to write music.
Yeah.
Okay. But to give them their dues, it's Mark Weatherly and Owen Reese. They're both in the UK. And Jennifer Fletcher wrote the bass lines, but the main writer was Mark Weatherly. He's a drummer and guitarist, and he is the one that created most of that, of what you hear in Ascending Dawn. And then all of the vocal lines and melodies are mine. But the other two were very, you know, they obviously offered their own lines in there. Everybody was very individual in it. So the sound is of four people, for sure.
And how is it working with a group of people like that, and you're not in the same town? You know, like you said, this person's in the UK, this person's here, you're in New York, you know, and probably some of it was written while you were touring, I imagine. So, you know, how is that pulling all that together when you guys are in different places? You know, how does it start?
Not easy. There's a nice part to it, because you can do it in the quiet of your own home and in your own, like if I have, like this weekend, I have some time off, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I might write to something that they sent me already. The hard part is communication. Mm-hmm. When you need something to happen fast, it usually doesn't happen. And then the live aspect is an issue. To which the solution is that when we decide to take this out live, it will probably contain or have musicians that aren't them. I'll probably get musicians here from New York or from the countries that I have to go to. And that is something we discussed in advance. It took a while to get through that discussion, I have to say, because they do want to be a part of it, but they're also, you know, everybody has their own lives and their own way of working. And they, in particular, aren't in the same wavelength like I am, which is juggling 15 things at the same time. So they are more reluctant to kind of do that whole touring thing, which I really want to do. So finding other musicians to fill that sound will be hard, but I'm pretty confident. This is New York. I can't imagine that there aren't people that enjoy this kind of music. So, and I do have friends already that are of similar sound, so I have people in mind for when that happens.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that you're going to be touring with this because the music's pretty cool. So tell us about the first track we're going to hear.
Which one have you selected? Is it All In Now or Cannonball?
Cannonball.
Okay. That's probably the most, if you want to call it commercial, I don't know. The most relatable track off the album. I think that if anyone from a pop background would probably be okay listening to it. okay, it's got some things I understand. And it's not like that progressive, you know, it stays within its rhythm structure. But the drummer likes to do his own thing. Well, it's actually, you know, you have to hear it. I don't know. There's a lyric video with this one. And actually that was all taken in Australia because our bass player at the time, who's no longer with Ascending Dawn, but she's a very talented lady. She is from Australia. The reason she is no longer a part is because she moved back to Australia, which is how we have that footage. it's from her, from like the varying beaches and areas of her where she lives. And we wanted to, a lot of the music has to do with a positive energy, and which is slightly different to metal normally. I always wanted to keep it hopeful and lighter. And using the video has a lot of sort of nature aspects, which are part of that sort of light aspect that we want to give out. So
beautiful. So Cannonball. Okay, so we just listened to Cannonball, and this is this going to be the first release off of the new?
That's already been released.
Oh, yes. Already released. Okay, yes, wonderful.
It was our first release, we had some pretty cool Metal Injection featured it, so that was really great for us. And it was nice to have that because I was a little afraid, you know, the kind of sort of, it's a lighter song, so, you know.
And tell us about the musicians. Tell us about the musicians that played on Cannonball.
Oh, it's the guys. It's so the drumming and the guitars, some of the guitars are Mark Weatherly. Owen Reese did some of the other guitars, and Jennifer Fletcher did the bass line, and then all the vocals are mine. It was mixed and mastered by Joachim Jacobs, who used to be in Textures in Amsterdam at Split Second Sound. And we self-produced it, so meaning like we all went, it's kind of, Owen was our main production hub.
Okay.
So like we each did our own work in our own environments, but then we all went there to complete the recording process. So I went to London to record that. That's for the whole album, but it includes Cannonball. So yeah, it's been a ride.
Yeah, it's really cool. I was enjoying watching the lyric video. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I love that you said you wanted to bring some lightness to metal. I think that's a very new approach, but very needed right now with everything that's happening in the world.
I guess. I mean, it's, you know, part of the video, it's kind of subliminal, and I don't know if anybody noticed, but the idea is like it begins, you know, with it being a little less colorful, sort of starker, and at a specific lyric change, which is more positive, it becomes full color. And that for me was important because I do want to include positive messages in this. I'm not talking about anything zen or anything too extreme here, just that, you know, hope and love and you know, divinity and spirituality does exist and can exist in this music. And that is definitely, even if the song has a negative emotion in it, I always ended it with a sense of hope because I feel like every negative experience has a positive learning curve to it. So that is something I wanted to reflect in all the tracks and in all the lyrics. There's always something positive in the tracks. And I think the music, because of its ambient nature and the way they use the effects on the guitars, it definitely gives you a sort of a sense of euphoria a little bit. There's a positive feel to it. And it kind of goes hand in hand with my choices in lyrical content. So I don't know if it was deliberate. It ended up being that way, so I'm voicing it. But, you know, I feel like it was part of who we are. So that's what came out.
Beautiful. And talking about spirituality, like, how does that play into your life as a musician?
I feel very blessed that I have been allowed to do this for a living. I've been doing this my whole life. I went from studying biochemistry and never doing anything with it and going straight into being in the arts. I don't know how I would exist otherwise. Therefore, it took me a while to understand and to feel grateful for that. It was hard to understand what gratitude is. There's a sort of expectation that we have that things should happen for us in a certain way. I went through a lot of personal journeys to discover my own viewpoint on spirituality and how things work out, and I'm still, you know, not everything is rosy, but I definitely have learned to appreciate certain things in my life and appreciate the fact that I do this for a living, and that I get the opportunity to meet new people who also enjoy this, and there are many struggles, but I feel like the spirituality in that is that you learn from that always. There's always, however painful something is, there's always a learning curve in it. And sometimes it's hard to find, but I think that once you get over whatever it is, you can see it somehow. You've grown somehow as a person. And I try to keep that in general in my life. It's not always easy, though, I have to say, especially living in New York.
So. Yeah, living in New York's tough. I lived in New York for 7 years, so I get what you're saying. You know, as a musician and a singer, and you're hitting the pavement and you're meeting people all the time, but then people go off and they do their thing, and it's like, oh, I felt like I was always starting over there.
Yeah, sure. So, oh, well, I'd love to sit and chat with you so I could find out more about you now.
We will have that conversation off camera. We will stay in touch for sure because we have some similarities. But you're just such an amazing woman. You're doing incredible things. And I love, love, love that you're doing metal because it's just like, what? Like, yes, you can do it all. Yes, you can perform any kind of music that makes your heart sing. You can act. You can do voiceover. You can do, you know, write books. You can write films, whatever, you know. And this is the whole reason behind Guitar Goddess. It's just, I want to expose the world to more women like yourself, you know, so that the little girls that write me in know that they're not alone and they're not crazy.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, you know, metal is very male dominated. There are women in it. I'm not saying there aren't. But, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing.
No, you can say whatever you want. This is for women, by women. You're free.
No, that's cool. You know, like you have, like even like when one of our songs was featured somewhere, I won't mention anywhere, and I just, you know, it was my first experience to kind of read the comments, and I found it remarkable that they targeted me. It was a project, but they were like, I don't like her. There was a very specific, or it was about the woman. I'm like, but why are you separating the female aspect from the whole thing? This is not about, you know, the woman in it. It just happens to be a female voice, but it's a project, it's a whole sound. Mm-hmm. But they separated the female aspects, and I found it remarkable, and I was like, but why? And I think, well, the reason why is because not many people, it's not a done that much. And obviously being in an all-female Zeppelin band, you know, we hear and I hear from them a lot of that stuff, you know, oh, you're, you know, it's great for women. Mm-hmm. And we wish there wasn't that separation a lot of the time, because like, why can't women do the same things men can and rock out as hard and do metal and do all of that stuff? There's, yeah, okay, we don't, you know, we're a little more softer in what we look like, but that doesn't mean we can't rock out hard, you know what I mean? So, and usually we change people's minds, but there is that kind of thing that you have to go through that every time. And I didn't really think about all of that until I came to America, where you guys have, you know, shone a light on that. It's not something that I'm coming from where I came from. I didn't even realize it was happening to me, you know? So with all the stuff that's happening right now, with the sexual harassment stuff and having that, which made me think of all these instances that happened to me. And I think, I didn't even sort of register them.
Yes.
And I feel, you know, I feel kind of weird that I didn't, you know, and I wish I had, but I'm happy that it's all happening now to make sure that, you know, we do find our place rightfully where it should be. And that we're treated in the same way that we should be as men are. So I don't know, fingers crossed for women is what I can say.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting you say that about, you know, not having to think about it in other countries and it being so in your face here. It's very interesting to me because you said you didn't know that you even needed to consider it that way. And I think that's why this whole Me Too thing, you know, not to go too deeply in that, but I think that's why the whole Me Too thing has been so eye-opening, because this is being echoed by all of us. you know, women in the entertainment business that we didn't think that we should say anything, you know, because, you know, you always think you're the only one. And I just think there's so much power in people telling their stories and sharing and it even registering, you know, in our minds.
that was the biggest thing, you know, yes. The fact that I was like, I had like this like flashbacks of stuff that happened to me when I was a teenager and stuff that happened to me in this business with theater directors or theater, you know, in situations. I was like, oh, that's what that was. I didn't register it at the time. I didn't have the, I was strong enough to always say no, mm-hmm. but I did always get the result of that, which was my career was shut down in certain avenues, you know, and that was a discussion I had with some other ladies, how we have to always juggle that. We have to go, oh, okay, well, we're in a situation where this person might be able to, if we work together, we can move forward. But if we don't follow what he wants, then we're not going to be moving forward. And we know that inherently.
Right, right.
And so that, I don't want that to battle that anymore. Why should we have to go through that? If you like what I do, then move me forward.
Exactly.
So if you don't like what I do, that's fine. But like if it, there shouldn't be this kind of quid pro quo, I give you this, you give me that. So absolutely. Yeah, it's a hard, it's weird that all this stuff has been happening. And actually one of the songs I actually did, it's not the one I gave you, but it's actually the other lyric video has a hashtag Me Too on it, because a lot of what that song is about in its convoluted lyrics is about that. So maybe I should have given you that one.
Yeah, why don't you tell me what that song is so we can at least send it out to everybody to make sure they hear it.
Okay, it's Inside the Silence. It's on YouTube, Inside the Silence, Ascending Dawn. I did send, the link should be somewhere in our emails,
Perfect.
But it wasn't my choice. I didn't think about it, sorry. But yes, that one is in particular about, you know, staying quiet. Inside the Silence was about that and how we feel inside and it, in a very convoluted way. So it might not be obvious initially if somebody's reading the lyrics off of that, but that's what that's about. But it is. The women might see it more than the men.
Absolutely. You know, and it's important. I love that you have a song about that, even if it's not like in your face, because I'm compiling right now a playlist of all these songs for women who are part of the hashtag Me Too, you know, just a playlist for them to listen to inspire them. And to, you know, console as well, because it's tough to come out and tell your story, even if it's just on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. It's tough, even in this day, to share, you know, what you've gone through, you know, because there's been so many years of double, you know, just not really trusting your instincts. And I think that, you know, women like yourself are giving other women the power in so many ways. Like, I just love you so much, because in so many ways, you're just like, you know, answering so many of these young girls' emails. I should share some of them with you, where, you know, they talk about metal, they talk about, you know, being the vocalist in a band, you know, sometimes being the vocalist in a all guy band, and how to handle themselves.
Yeah,
right? And how to deal with the jokes and things that come from the guys in the band. And, you know, I know for me personally, I'm not going to get on me too much, but I know for me personally, the jokes that would come, I would just let them go, you know. But now I think I would address them head on.
Yes, I think so too. That's a definite difference in emotion. Like, I found myself saying things now. I'm like, no, but wait, if somebody said something, I'm like, no, hang on. This is, you know, it was even over Thanksgiving. You know, I went to not my own family, my boyfriend's family's house, and there were several people there. And actually that conversation came up, and I'm not saying we fought, but we did have, you know, moments of, you know, discussion where I took a stand I hadn't done before. You know, I'm like, no, we shouldn't be put in this position. This is something that, you know, I was hearing things like, but what about the women who dress with all their boobs hanging out? I'm like, that still does not give anybody the excuse to make that the target, you know.
I know, right? Oh my gosh, I've been going for this for hours. I heard a guy similar, this same conversation, you know. Well, if she's showing this, I said, I don't care if she's naked. I really don't. You have no right to say the things or try to intimidate her, and God forbid you don't have, you know, the offer to touch her inappropriately. You know, I don't really care what a woman's wearing. And it's just, I'm happy we're having these conversations now.
It's funny, yeah.
It's right? funny, but it's so necessary. And I feel like you said, in the silence, much too long. But tell us more about you musically, you know, what's happening. You know, you've been in some films. There's just so much. Guys, just go to her website. Please go to MarlaneAngel.com and check out this powerhouse, because she's incredible. Like, I don't think either of us have the time to go through, like, just how awesome she is. So make sure you go to her website and leave me some comments below this video and just tell her how amazing she is. And to keep we love you.
Thank you. That's sweet. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, just having so many different things in my past has been weird to juggle, and explaining to people that, yeah, you know what, I like Shakespeare, but oh, I do metal. And then, you know, being put in a box is hard too. Mm-hmm. You know, part of being in New York and now sort of being somewhat put in that box where I'm only a rock chick. I'm like, well, actually, yes, but I do Shakespeare, you know, I'm trained in it. I love it. You know, give me a chance to speak in that way. People do like to label you and like to put, and I refuse. That's why my website is like that, because yeah. I'm like, you know what? I don't care. If I am all these different things, that's what I'm going to show. I don't want to have my type written on me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just be one type. I'm going to have my headshots that show me doing different types. And yes, agents will disagree. And yes, you know, there's all of that. But, and if it doesn't work in my favor, it doesn't work in my favor. At least I'm doing what I feel is right for me. I do have all these parts inside me, and I don't want to just be one thing. Musically, I am very much drawn to rock music and metal music and all of that. I don't necessarily want to be singing other styles unless somehow it speaks to me. Now I did that already. But as an actor, I don't like to be pigeonholed, but I am. It's one of those things. Now I'm starting to be. I mean, I wasn't before. But you know, these are all little things that we do. And actually, it's interesting that you told me about how you said that, you know, being in an all male band and being a female singer and dealing with that, you know, being in Greece for a while and having been in these various bands, it was harder because in Greece, they're still backward in that. Here, you know, you are luckier in that these things are more sensitive. The shit that I went through is, you know, I would fight with the sound engineer because he thought I didn't know what I would need in my monitors. I'm like, are you kidding me? He knows better than I do. I'm like, why? Because I'm a girl, you know, things like that. Which I don't want to remember, but I just had to deal with it. And the only way I could was to kind of work with them and kind of become, you know, figure out tactics. Mm-hmm. Not fun. So anybody that can actually say things straight out right now, I think I totally, I'm with them with that. You know, everyone say what they feel, and that, yeah, if you feel you want to do something as a woman, and you want to say something, you should. Don't shy away from it. And there's going to be 1,000 women that will back her up.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, that's so important. And I just have to personally thank you for something that you did for me. I also do acting and voiceover. But okay. I didn't have them all on one website. They were kind of hidden on another website.
Oh,
and I went to your website and I saw everything is there in one place. And I said, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to tell her, thank you. Because you inspired me to put it all in one place.
Well, yeah, it's funny, right? Because they, you know, you are told to keep everything separate. And
absolutely.
There are times when I worry that if I go into because I do have some tattoos and I do have whatever, like if I walk into a voiceover, because I do a lot of corporate voiceover, a lot of like health oriented videos, and I do worry sometimes if I walk in, but nobody sees. So far, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna be myself, I'm not gonna hide. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to go in and do, and I still come out with a voice that they need. So I smash whatever preconception they have. So yeah, why not put it on the same website? I don't think it's a bad thing. The good thing about certain websites, and I will say that, is that you can just send that page. Mm-hmm. So if you just separate them, so if you want to send it to like a prospective client, just send a voiceovers page. I actually did something once. I can tell you this little story.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have time. Do you want to hear it?
Of course I do. Of course. Keep going.
There was a show that I auditioned for. It was just a small little show, and it was all classical. So it was, they wanted, you know, I signed Kurt Vile for that. Mm. And I was like, it was sort of set in the 1700s. So it was period. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put my hair up. I'm just going to put all the long sleeve things on that I have. And I'm going to go in like that. And the composer really loves me. The writer, he did too. And he was like, they cast me as this role. So I was playing a very classical English lady, you know, married and very straight-laced and conservative, and who sang in this very soprano, legit vocal. And then 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from the composer, and he goes, I didn't know. He goes, I went to your website. Oh my God, I didn't know you could sing rock music. So he was like super excited by the fact that he hadn't gone to my website. Obviously, he just let me do my thing in the audition. And he was completely enthralled by the fact that I do such hard music too. Mm-hmm. And everybody, including the cast, had no idea. They were like, no, they wouldn't believe. And I had two cast members running in consecutive shows, in like a different show, mm-hmm. Who I'd worked with before. And they were like, you're working with Marlene. Oh, she's a great rock singer. He goes, no, she's doing legit soprano. No, though, she's a rock singer. She's like a really good rock singer. And he's like, no, she's like, and they were having this like conversation. Like they were like, no, it's not the same person. So that kind of thing was, I think, like the best thing that ever happened to me, because I found it so funny, but like empowering. So I was like, okay, I convinced people in both departments.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened again, but I'm hoping I have another story like that soon.
I love it. That's a beautiful story. I love it because you're multi-passionate, and you know, it's great to be multi-passionate. I think in the days of old, they would say, pick one thing, you know, they try to put you in one lane and say, stay there. Either you're a rock singer or you're an opera singer, or either you're a, you know, this kind of person or that kind of person. And it's okay to be multi-passionate. And mm-hmm. I think it's up to us to share that with the younger girls that it's okay.
Yeah.
You. No,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, like musical theater can be very, very boxy and very much like you are that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just absolutely refuse. And if, you know, and luckily there are people that are open to it. So not everybody, but there are some. So you will find those people if you're looking.
Absolutely. And what's next for you? Tell us what's next. What's happening?
Well, the release of Coalesce is going out with Ascending Dawn. And we're actually writing new material during this time now, during this kind of PR campaign that we're going through. So I think that one won't be ready till kind of mid next year. But I'm excited about that. It'll be a new EP. We're doing with Led Zeppelin, we're actually also finishing recording a new album, which is going to feature strings. And we're doing some string concerts in December, which is going to be a new thing for us as well. So it'll be like Led Zeppelin and a whole lot of strings. And in January, we are coming over sort of in your direction.
Ooh.
It's on my website.
Okay.
The tour is on there. I don't know if we're not coming to LA. But we are coming to California to do a few gigs. I don't think it's with strings, but if anybody's over there and wants to come say hi, it would be great to see them. And then I don't know. I'm trying to think. My brain is like I have like a voiceover booking I have to do at some point. But some of these voiceover things I'm not allowed to say what they are.
Got it.
so I can't really quite say, but they're all, it's exciting. And yeah, just continuing with the acting thing as much as I can. It is secondary to my music mm-hmm. at the moment because it's just too much. But hopefully there's an investigation discovery series that I'm on a little bit coming out next year called Grave Secrets. Come on the first episode. We'll see. Yeah, it's cool.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. All right, so tell everybody where they can find you. Tell us about your website, your social handles, all of that stuff if they want to
connect with you. Really not a... All right. So Ascending Dawn is ascendingdawnband.com. So Ascending Dawn Band as well on Instagram. We have a pretty active Instagram and Facebook. So it's if you want it to be spelled, it's A-S-C-E-N-D-I-N-G. Dawn, D-A-W-N. Band. And then for me, on my own, it's Marlaine, M-A-R-L-A-I-N, angel.com, as you said. and I'm on Instagram as well as Marlaine_A. Facebook, Marlaine Angelides. I know I have many names. If you just Marlaine, M-A-R-L-A-I-N, stuff will come up because it's not many people with that spelling. So I think that's about it. Did I miss something out?
No, I think you got everything. We got Facebook, Instagram.
Twitter, I'm like a little bit.
I know Twitter's kind of twittering out for us as well. I'm just kind of like, okay, I don't know if Twitter's going to be around much longer. I probably shouldn't say that, but I said it. Oh, well. I don't know if they're going to be around much longer. So I haven't been giving my Twitter account as much love as it probably should. So I get that. Do you have a YouTube channel?
Yes, it's a, well, my own, okay. You can find it if you go with Marlaine Angel, and Ascending Dawn has one too. So it's Ascending Dawn Band, okay. YouTube, my own YouTube has a bunch of old songs and a bunch of different things, ooh. Crazy things, songs that I released on my own, when I was in Greece. So they're a little older, and the Ascending Dawn is the one that I'm you know, keeping up more now. And I will be recording some vocal videos as well, some vocal live videos in the studio next week. I don't know when those will be out though. So subscribe to the Ascending Dawn channel because they'll be coming out there. And that will feature vocals specifically in the arrangement that we kind of is our style. So it might be interesting in that respect. And we have this, I'm so happy because the engineer is the engineer for Gojira. So he's going to be engineering the session over here at Silver Chord Studios. So I'm really happy about that.
That's awesome. Wow. And one last thing that I'd love to ask people. Well, actually two things. First one is your favorite quote. Second one is what's on your playlist. Or you can reverse them if you want.
So my playlist, I will reverse it.
Okay.
My playlist is very much still prog metal because that's the I'm very attracted to that, and those include bands of like Carnival, Tesseract, and Carnival spelled K-A-R-N-I-V-O-O-L, Tesseract, Pain of Salvation, Periphery, Animals as Leaders, I just went to see Animals as Leaders and Periphery over at PlayStation. I was so excited about that. And I love Queen. I'll listen to the odd Queen track, and I have to listen to Led Zeppelin because of my gig. I have my phone.
Here we go.
No, I mean, generally any prog metal sort of melodic, Leprous, I found them. Oh my God. Leprous, yeah. It's a Norwegian band I am so excited about. I didn't know they existed before. I only found them. This is their second album, but yes. If you like that kind of music, I'm totally recommending it. Leprous. And really super talented proggy band with music. Like melodies out through the Zoom. It's like really amazing. So yeah, I think they're almost my new favorite band now. So those are all of that is in my playlist. Favorite quote. I think it would have to be stay positive as much as possible, because I say that to myself repeatedly. Stay positive and find the gratitude. Because it's very hard sometimes in those difficult moments. So finding the, you know, finding the positive side of it and staying grateful to what you already have is the best way to get through those things, I think.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time, for your wisdom, for sharing your wonderful music with us today. It's just been such an honor to talk to you and to get to know you a little bit. And I hope it won't be the last time.
I hope so too. I hope to get to see you. I hope to get to meet you in person.
Absolutely.
And hopefully maybe gig at some point over there or something so we could meet up. That would be great.
Awesome. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Marlene.
And if you come to New York, you have to let us know.
Oh my gosh, I will be in New York in January. Because the Grammys are the end of January, so I'll be in New York mid to end January. I'll be there for about 10 days. So I'll look you up and see if you're in town. Maybe we can grab coffee or tea or something.
Sure.
All right. Excellent. All right, well, thank you. So good to meet you. And I will be in touch as soon as this is all edited and everything. You'll get a copy before it goes live. So if there's anything you hate,
okay.
You can let me know, okay? I try to do that for all the girls because I know how we are.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's very
kind. My pleasure. All right. I'll talk to you soon. Continue.
Lovely to meet you.
You as well. Ciao.
Bye.